We see a lot of things on television. One thing that we've seen off and on for 10, 15 years is an American Express commercial with a slogan that says, "Membership has its privileges." Now, we've talked at length over past Sundays and in some of the sermons that have been brought, we've talked a whole lot about what our obligations are as Christians, what is expected of us as Christians, what is the appropriate activity for each of us as we try to spread the gospel message. Brother Jimmy said it here this morning, we speak the truth. It's almost like he'd been hearing some of my sermons here lately because, you know, we speak the truth. We speak the truth in love. We speak the truth with the goal of the redemption of people. We don't judge people. We don't run people off. We speak the truth and let the Word do what the Word's supposed to do, and hopefully it brings them to a point where their relationship with God has been renewed and restored, and they have been redeemed, and they join us in the body of believers. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But when we do that, when we submit our lives to Christ, when we receive Him, and then not only just simply receive Him in that moment which we surrender and we receive the new birth, but as we experience that salvation process, that ongoing process by which we are conformed into the image of Christ Jesus, as we allow that to happen, then God can begin to use us more and more and more to spread that redemption story. It's exactly our purpose. And as Brother Jimmy also said, here's the thing we say, if we didn't have a job to do while we're here, why doesn't God just take us home the moment we're born again? Get us out of a whole lot of trouble, would save us a whole lot of heartache and headache and hassle. But we're here for a reason, and we're here to be the ambassadors of Christ. So what are the benefits of a right relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ? Well, we spoke of it initially. We've got this new birth to life abundant, to life spiritual. You know, we were all born once physically. We came from our mother's womb, and we got this body of flesh, and some of us have been around long enough, it's starting to break down just a little bit and wear out, but we were born physically once. But when questioned about what you need to do in response to what Jesus did, the answer biblically is you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit and of the water. So there is a new spiritual thing, and if you recall, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he was a teacher of Israel. He was a Pharisee. He understood, but he just couldn't grasp this concept that you had to be born again. Because after all, he was the son of Abraham. He thought he had it made. But here's the trick that he didn't grasp at the moment. Now, if someone was not born a Jew and they wanted to convert to Judaism to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they underwent a process. They submitted, and they were said to have been born again. But you see, Nicodemus just couldn't grasp that because he was already of the bloodline of Abraham. He didn't think he needed that. But it was a spiritual thing, and Jesus taught him that was a spiritual truth and not a physical truth. So we got to be born again. From that moment, we receive deliverance from eternal separation with God. Because you see, spiritual death is what happens to those who are not born again, and that is an eternal separation from God. But once you have received that new birth, then you're entitled to not be separated from God. That's an entitlement that we have as part of it. And along with that, we receive the abiding presence of God inside each of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's promised as a deposit. He's promised as a comforter. He's promised as an advisor, a counselor, one who can interpret Scripture to us. But we receive, at the moment of salvation, we receive the very presence of God inside our being. Sometimes it seems like He's so deep down, we don't hardly know He's there. But it's because we haven't tuned ourselves to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. One of the greatest benefits of being a believer in Jesus Christ is the presence of the Holy Spirit inside you for comfort, for strength, for encouragement, to interpret the Word, to lead you, to guide you, even to intercede to the Father for you when you don't know what to pray. Membership has its privileges, and membership in the family of God means you've got God in you. Amen? All right. We have instant, one-on-one, direct access to the throne of grace. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through an intermediary. You don't have to take a lamb down to the temple. You don't have to do any of those things. We have immediate, instantaneous access to the throne of grace. It's as simple as opening your mouth and say, "Oh God, help." We can come into the presence of God. We can present our petitions to Him. We can tell Him how we feel. We can process all of our emotions. We can process our anger and our hurt and our bitterness. We can process the fact that somebody did us wrong, but we still need to reach out to Him in Christian love. We can process all those things immediately right to the source of our redemption. We can take it right straight to the throne. We don't have to go through rituals. We don't have to offer new sacrifices. We don't have to go find, you know, I'm put in mind that, you know, when the widow's son died in the Old Testament, she waited for the man of God to come. Well, guess what? In this Christian age, we don't have to wait for the man of God to come because God's in you, Christian. You don't have to wait for the traveling prophet to come through your house. You can go right straight to the source. That's a great benefit, isn't it? No intermediary is necessary. We get to participate, as we talked about in recent weeks, in this salvation process, this continuous process of becoming Christ-like as God develops the fruit of the Spirit in us. And as we yield to what He's trying to do, He is drawing us closer and closer and molding us to resemble Christ Jesus. Not physically, but in the way we think, in the way we talk, in the way we act, in the way we pray, in the words we say. All of those things, we are being conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. For what purpose? Well, obviously it's a benefit to us, but that's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose of our being conformed to the image of Christ is for all those people out there we need to touch, those people we need to reach. When somebody cuts in front of you in the line at Walmart, do you chew them out and get upset and stomp and fume? Or you pray for them? You witness to them? What do? If we're being progressively more Christ-like, then we would take an opportunity that could have been an insult or could have been a burr under our saddle or a spark in the powder house of our anger. We take that moment and turn it into an opportunity. You know, right, every encounter you have is an opportunity. Lord, I didn't plan on preaching that. Every encounter you have is an opportunity. Jimmy talked about sowing seeds, sowing the seeds of the truth, scattering the word. What'd Paul say? He said, "I sowed and Apollos watered. God gave the increase." We're all the time sowing seeds. You're sowing weeds or you're sowing grain. You're sowing wheat or you're sowing tares. We're all the time scattering seed. Everything comes out of our mouth, every time somebody sees us do something or react to something, and let me tell you, your reactions tell yourself and others a whole lot more about you than your planned actions do. How do you react when it don't go your way? And the church said, "Oh me." The fruit of the Spirit gets to be birthed in us and we get to be renewed. We get to have the mind of Christ. Yeah, membership has its privileges. Wouldn't it be better to have the mind of Christ than the mind of this world system around us? I'll tell you one thing. The mind of Christ is not confused about the truth. And I guarantee you the world system's confused about the truth. Even that which should be obvious is confusing in today's society. It ain't confusing in the Word. It's black or it's white. You see, we get to have the relationship of adopted sons and daughters. God chose you, Christian. It's not like you're an accident. It's not like you just happened. It's not like somebody dropped you in out of the sky. God chose you. And He chose you to bring you into His family, to make you heirs of salvation, to make you co-heirs with Jesus Christ, to give you the privilege of being part of the family. And if you're part of the family, oh man, you got privileges of being part of the family. You get to be at home where Daddy is. That's a privilege. You get this unrestricted access to the throne of grace. You get the privilege of experiencing the benefits of being in the family. You were chosen. You were brought in. You're no longer an outsider. You're no longer a stranger. You're no longer a wanderer. You get to be part of the family. And if you're part of the family, you got people around you who are where you are. We get to help each other. We get to support each other. We get to fellowship with each other. You've got all of this family to gather around you. You are not alone. I tell you, one of the most devastating things in a world that we're living in right now is to feel like you're all alone. That there's no help. There's nobody that thinks like you do. There's nobody that struggles like you do. But I want to tell you, in the family of God, there are millions around you who feel like you feel, who struggle with what you struggle with, who need affirmation the way you need affirmation. The family of God is there as a huge support network. Yes, our primary mission after we're born again is to reach out to other people, but that also includes reaching out to people in the body. I made a comment, was it last week or week before, that if you're going to wash your left arm, you can't wash your left arm with your left arm. It doesn't work that way. It takes another part to reach over and do that. Well, that's the way it works in the family. Sometimes you can't do it yourself. You need another part of the body to help you out. And it's so important that we do that. But being part of the family means we have each other, but it also means we got Daddy. We got the Creator of the universe who spoke all this into existence sitting on His throne, and we have access to crawl right up in Daddy's lap. Say, I need a hug today. I don't understand what's going on. Can you explain it to me? I need some help here, God. And we got perfect access to do that. Yeah, membership has its privileges, and being in the family of God has its privileges. And you know, like all family members, sometimes we stub our toe. Sometimes we mess up. And we have got the advocacy of Jesus, our mediator, sitting at the right hand of His Father, saying, Daddy, yeah, I know, but this one's with me. We've got the advocacy of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, who, when you're so desperate and so torn up and you can't find words to even pray, it's the Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings that we can't understand. But man, God knows. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to that point where I just don't even know what to pray? All you can do is moan. All you can do is groan. All you can do is get on your face on the floor and just waller. The Holy Spirit is praying for you when you're in that situation. Look, He needs a touch. I know what's going on in His heart. I know what He's struggling with. And God's got the answer to it. How many have been there lately? Yeah. It's hard sometimes. I'm going to share a few things with you. I borrowed this extensive list of some of the many benefits that come with believing Jesus. Now, the individual who posted this, I don't agree with all of his theology, but he's got some good scripture references here. I'm going to share a few with you. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says we have fellowship with Christ. What does that mean? It means we're buddies. It means we can talk. It means He won't leave us or forsake us. Ephesians 2:18, we have access to the Father through Jesus. You can access God with confidence, Ephesians 3:12, Hebrews 10:22. You have access to God's grace, Romans 5:2. You can have, if you yield to God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 14:17. We have overflowing hope, Romans 15:13. We have a righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, Romans 3:22. Here's a good one. You remember when you were a kid, when you used to have family gatherings? Some of you may not remember this, but there used to be, when all the family come together for Thanksgiving or Christmas, all the adults sat at the big table, and all the kids sat around a card table in the next room. All right, we got the invite to the big table. Christian, we have this fellowship with God. We are raised up to sit together with Christ. Now get this. Physically right now you're sitting in a chair at New Hope Church in Gorman Hollow in Hazard, Kentucky. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, do you know where you're spiritually seated? With Christ, in Christ, next to Daddy. That's pretty good. You're raised up to sit together with Christ in heavenly realms. That's Ephesians 2:6, by the way. God freely justifies you, Romans 3. Christ dwells in you, Colossians 1. We talked about adoption already. Your Father strengthens you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. That's a good one. How many need some power to live? I do. It's Ephesians 3:16. Your Father gives you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so we know Him better. Ephesians 1. I can go on. There's 80 some of these on this list. I'm not going to list them all. Anybody that's interested, I might post it later. Look, we have an opportunity for a personal relationship with the Creator of the universe through His perfect Son. We have an opportunity. Do we squander it? Do we stop and think about the benefits? You know what? Our praise and our worship would be much more enlivened if we had a constant awareness of just what we've been saved from and just what we've been saved to. We get weary. We get tired. It's hard to do good all the time. It's hard to force yourself to get up and go. It's hard sometimes to live. But if we stopped and thought about what Jesus saved us from and the privilege He saved us to, we'd be running to the church house. We'd be singing His praises at the top of our lungs. We wouldn't be going, da-da-da-da-da-da. We'd be shouting. We'd be running. I'm reminded of when the disciples got the word from the women that Jesus was not in the tomb, John ran to the tomb. Peter, older man, didn't run to the tomb, but when he got there and saw the stone rolled away, he barged right in. He didn't care about ritual uncleanness. He didn't care about any of that. He said, "Where's Jesus?" And he come out of there with those grave clothes. He ain't here. Are we that excited to come into the presence of God? Those men thought they were going to a scene of a body stealing. They didn't realize what was going on until they got there. Jesus had told them what was going to happen, but it didn't process. Until He showed Himself to them, they didn't really grasp the fact of what was going on. Are we excited? Is there life in our worship? Is there gratitude and thankfulness in our heart all the time? I'm going to give you 10 points real quick from a Puritan preacher, a fellow named Thomas Vincent. He was a Puritan preacher in England. And he says some things that are really good here. 10 benefits of believing in Jesus. We live in the spiritual light from Christ. What does light do? Light dispels darkness. Light shows the truth. light shows it up just like it really is. Some of you ladies probably got a makeup mirror that's got 25,000 candle power on it, and you turn that thing on, and you see every pore, you see every wrinkle, you see one hair in your eyebrow out of place. Jesus is the light. And we look in the light, and we see what needs to be fixed. But we get to dwell in that light, and remember, light dispels darkness. Evil cannot abide in the presence of light. Darkness cannot abide in the presence of light. We have spiritual life from Christ. We're not just a collection of cells and chemicals with electrical impulses running everything. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and in Christ it is alive. It is not bound for doom and destruction. It's not hell-bound, it's heaven-bound if we're in Christ. We have the pardon of sin. Twofold. One is those acts and actions that you do or do not do which are ungodly. And the other is the very nature of sin which you inherited from the fallen man Adam. Both are taken care of by the blood of Christ. And we don't have to worry about the guilt and shame that goes with sin, because we are alive in Christ Jesus. We have robes of righteousness. What's righteousness? Thinking right, talking right, acting right. We don't have that capacity as natural human beings. We have that capacity when we're indwelt by Christ. We have peace from God. Look, for all the circumstances around us, we don't have to be torn up. We don't have to be upset, because we know that our eternal destiny is settled in Christ Jesus. We know that when this life on this planet comes to an end, we know where we end up. We end up in the presence of God. We have the joy of the Holy Spirit. I don't know, I don't feel too joyous sometimes. Don't confuse joy and happiness. Happiness is an emotion. Happiness can be fleeting. Joy is an abiding presence that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that God's in control. People get all torn up trying to read the book of Revelation. I choose to look at it this way. God knows what's going to happen at the end of the day. It's already settled. And regardless of whether I have a smooth highway or a bumpy road, God's still God. It'd do well if we all thought that way. We have the riches of grace from Him. Do you know that God's a just God? But He has chosen the avenue of grace. By His good will, if you avail yourself of what Christ did, He has chosen to pardon sin, instead of to be the righteous judge and condemn sin. He knows that, look, he knows we're going to stumble. He knows we're going to fall. But my scripture tells me that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive it. We put it under the blood. We put it under the blood. And His grace then abounds to us. We have the dignity of children. We're not wanderers in the street. We're not beggars. We are the children of God. We are the heirs of God, the co-heirs with Christ Jesus. We're part of the family, and therefore we have the dignity of being the children of God and not outcasts. We have the spirit of prayer. There is no greater privilege, Christian, than the free access you have to bring your concerns and your needs and your pain, and your suffering, and your joy, and your happiness, and your celebration to the throne of grace in your prayer. No greater privilege, because we have that instant access. We don't have to go through a system of religion. We don't have to follow a particular ritual. In the moment of your need, if you just simply cry out, "Oh God," He's there to hear. And we have, anybody got a vehicle that they own that's absolutely paid off? You got a little piece of paper from the state that's a title, right? What's that title say? Say, "That's mine. I own it. It's my possession." We have title to the kingdom of heaven through Christ Jesus. We have the first fruits and the foretaste of it here, and we'll fully possess it at some time down the road. But we have a promise of title from heaven. Now, I've talked a lot in last weeks about what does it mean to be a Christian, and what should we do and what should we not do, and how we need to conduct our lives. I told you a whole lot about the requirements. Well, today is about the get-tos. It's about the privileges. It's about what are you entitled to as part of this relationship. And we are entitled to all of the riches and glory of heaven. Now, do we arrogantly possess that and lord it over somebody else? You better not. Because you see, the religious leaders of Jesus' day took their position and their robes, and they stood up there and looked down at all those little people that they thought they were better than because of their position. Christian, you ain't better than nobody else. Christian, you ain't worse than nobody else. We're all on level ground here. Now, our giftings are different. Our callings are different. Don't get that confused. But at the end of the day, your status before God is through the blood of Christ. And those people that are in bondage and in addiction and are laying in the gutter somewhere this morning that don't know Christ, you could just as well be in their spot as you are sitting here on these padded chairs with your air conditioner working. Okay? You could just as easily be there. And therefore, we don't look down on anybody. Nor do we look at somebody who's greatly anointed and got a big ministry and lots of followers and place them up on some pedestal somewhere, because the same God who gifted them can gift you. We're all on equal footing. And there's one thing that matters. What have you done with the blood of Christ? Have you accepted His sacrifice and committed yourself to following God because of what Christ did or not? One decision that matters. What have you done with Jesus? Have you accepted His offer or not? That's the only thing that separates the saved from the lost. Because everything happens from that moment on. When you become born again, that's when the Holy Spirit begins to indwell you. That's when you transition from a lost wanderer to a member of the family. And you can help people make that decision. Matter of fact, we're obligated to help people make that decision. There's a whole lot to be said about people wanting the benefits without wanting the obligations that go with it, and you've heard me talk about that at length in past weeks, so I'm not going back into it today. But the question is right now, let me place it this way. Did you ever get a new electronic device or a new car? I know Janet just got a new car, and it's got all this computer stuff on it and all these various things. Have you figured out everything that car can do yet? Guess what? Ain't none of us figured out everything that we're entitled to with God. It's the same thing. You know, you get in there, oh, I didn't know it did that. Well, you know, see, we all do. It don't matter how long you've been a believer, because the promises of God are new every morning. New every morning. We always find, oh, hey, here's another feature of being a believer in God. And all I got to do to make it work is this. All I got to do is. And we learn that stuff every day. Because it would get stale otherwise, wouldn't it? We learn new features. We learn new things. Everything I've said this morning, if you're not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you're not entitled to until you surrender to God. When you surrender to God, then you become part of the family, and then the benefits. If you've not been born again, now's the time to start this relationship, because I tell you, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, you're entitled to one thing at the end of this age, and that is a trip to join the devil and his angels in a place of suffering. But after you've made that decision to come to Christ, to surrender, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he gave his life willingly as payment for our sins, and that he powerfully rose from the dead on the third day and ascended to the right hand of the Father. When you believe that and you acknowledge that and you commit yourself to that lifestyle and ask him to come in and dwell in you, everything changes. Your eternal destiny changes at that point. You're no longer hellbound, you're heavenbound. And it's important that we do that. So everything that I've said this morning, if you haven't made that decision, I'm going to tell you what you need to do is you need to make that decision. Now, maybe you've been a believer for years, or maybe you've been a believer for minutes, and you didn't realize the benefits of being in a relationship with God. And maybe you've been operating on manual mode instead of letting God lead, guide, and direct and lead you into that place. Maybe you have pulled into yourself and said, I'm just in survival mode. I'm just trying to survive. I've rebooted my life in safe mode, and I'm just going to stay here where nothing can touch me. Well, that's a good philosophy, but it doesn't work in the world. If you've got business to do with God, the altars are open. If you need to be born again, come to see me. If you have particular prayer needs and you need the church to pray with you, the altars are open for that as well. Do what God's leading you to do.